Welcome to the Strategy Driven Podcast, Introduction to Frame of Mind Coaching. Hi, I'm Nathan Ives. Along with my co-host, Kim Addis, we would like to welcome you to this edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast, Introduction to Frame of Mind Coaching. The Strategy Driven Podcast focuses on the tools and techniques executives and managers can use to improve their organization's alignment and accountability to ultimately achieve superior results. These podcasts elaborate on the best practice and warning flag posts found on the Strategy Driven website at www.strategydriven.com. In this podcast, Kim Addis, President of Frame of Mind Coaching, introduces us to her unique process of unveiling and switching thought patterns to ignite significant personal and professional change. So now, without any further delay, let's get started. In this podcast, I'm joined by Kim Addis, President of Frame of Mind Coaching, and one of North America's foremost experts on performance through thought management. By using her unique process of coaching through journaling, she works with clients to unveil and switch their thought patterns to ignite significant change and life transformation. Kim, welcome to the Strategy Driven Podcast.
Thank you so much, Nathan. I'm so happy to be speaking with you today.
Well, we are excited to have you. You know, we talk a lot about processes and procedures on our other podcasts. And I think this is a real treat. And I think our listeners are going to get a lot out of it because you really focus on personal performance and how to improve oneself.
That's right. And we focus on thought processes. So you might work on organizational processes. Mm-hmm. We work on thought processes.
Okay. Well, Kim, then just to start us off, if you don't mind, I'll just delve into the first question I have, and that is really, what differentiates the very successful from just everybody else?
Okay. Well, you know what? It's very, very interesting because when you think of people who are very successful, we often think that they have something over everybody else. We think, mm-hmm. well, they're better looking, they're taller, they're smarter, they started off more well off, something. Mm-hmm. The truth is, none of that is accurate. There's only one key thing that differentiates, we could say, top performers or highly successful people from others, and that is their degree of emotional resilience. So when we talk about emotional resilience, what does that really mean? And what we're referring to is their ability to bounce back from adversity and handle difficult or tough situations differently than the rest of us.
Okay, so it's kind of like those kind of highs and lows. I mean, I know I go through the day and I'll get hit with something out of the blue and kind of feel down. You're talking about being able to bounce back from those things.
Correct. So when you look at life, when you look at performance, sales, anything you want to, an organizational lifespan, right? There are highs and lows, just like a roller coaster. There are peaks and valleys, and sometimes the valleys can be very, very deep. And the hills can be very steep. So what people do who are incredible performers or who have high level of success is that on their way down towards a deep valley, they stop short. So they don't fall so far, so deep, or so fast. And they pull themselves up to ride the next high, so their volatility isn't so great.
Okay. Okay. Would you by chance have an example that you could share, maybe someone you've worked with recently?
I'll give you a perfect example that anyone can relate to.
Okay. Okay.
So you watch American Idol?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Okay. So how does it work? You know, basically there are 10 last performers And of the 10, 9 are going to get kicked off the show,
mm-hmm.
right? Only one will succeed. And each week or every other week, one of them gets kicked off the show. And what happens when they get kicked off the show? They are asked to come back on stage to do a final performance.
Right.
And it's gotta hurt, right? You know, America has voted, and they voted you off the show, and now you have to come back. Well, you have 9 people who have been kicked off the show, and 9 of them react differently.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Same event, same circumstances, 9 different responses and reactions.
Okay.
And one person crumbles, right, and they can't squeak out a tune.
Mm-hmm.
They're crying on stage. Another person clearly feels relief and goes and has his last hurrah. He's having a good time on stage.
Oh, yeah.
The third one says, well, I'm going to stick it to you. I'm going to sing better than I've ever sung before. And the audience is left wondering whether or not we should have kicked them off to begin with.
Okay.
Right? You know,
that's
and
right.
The fourth one kind of feels like, well, you know, this has been the greatest experience of my life. How lucky am I? My career can now begin.
Okay.
Right? So same event, 4 mm-hmm. different reactions. And that's what happens, is that we react to our circumstances. We react to what happens to us. And it's in that reaction that we can find a person's degree of emotional intelligence or emotional resilience. And what that really is about is their ability to process events. And if we peel it down one more layer, it's mm-hmm. how you position or how you think about what's going on in your life.
Okay, so it's kind of like we have this mental framework in our head, and there might be roadblocks that get in the way?
Well, we absolutely have roadblocks. So how it works is this: what we think about grows.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, we're not always aware of what we're thinking. So we have 2 levels of thoughts. We have conscious thoughts and subconscious thoughts.
Okay.
And even those thoughts that are conscious are very often harmful. But we're not aware that they're harmful. So
okay.
We absolutely do have mental roadblocks. You are right on the money there.
Okay. Are there any, like, particular thoughts that tend to get in the way of folks that you find kind of in common?
Absolutely. People have a lot of self-doubt.
Okay.
And self-doubt slows you down. So highly, highly successful people have no time, no room, no expense paid on self-doubt. There's just no room for self-doubt in the world of highly successful people. It's not that they don't make mistakes,
mm-hmm.
right? But mistakes are okay.
Right. Okay. Okay. Yeah, and I know I personally fall in that rut, because if I'm trying something, especially if it's something new that new for me, I'm sure other folks have done these things before, but I'm very tentative, and
right.
I'm not sure of myself, and I think back on things that I've done well in the past, and then I want to go back and do those things because now I'm afraid I can't go forward.
Right.
Okay.
So, self-doubt is a common one. Fear is another common one. What will people think is another one. There are lots and lots and lots of them.
Okay. Okay. Well, now, Kim, when you're working with somebody, mm-hmm. how do you go about identifying the things that that person is thinking that's unique to them, that's getting in their way of moving forward?
Okay. So you mentioned it at the beginning. One of the things that we do is we use the process of journaling. It is very, very powerful. So how it works is, when I work with a client, right? So it's a coaching mm-hmm. client. We have a 10-week coaching program. But every single day for the full 10 weeks, we ask them to write in an online journal. And I, as the coach, if I were the coach in this case, because we have many coaches, I would read their journal and provide feedback to them. So every week they're given an assignment and about what to focus on. And every week and every single day they write about that item. And as they write, I read what they're writing and I help them probe deeper, 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 deeper. Here's how journaling works and why it's such a powerful tool.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you 3 reasons. The first reason is that typically we believe that we are what we think, but we're not. Our thoughts are very separate from us, but we're so wrapped up in them that we can't see them very clearly. When we write or when we journal, we separate ourselves from our thoughts, and all of a sudden we're able to see what we're thinking, both consciously, and once you start to learn how to read between the lines, subconsciously too. So now we can see the thoughts that we're having, we can identify those that are harmful, and we can choose differently. So what we do, something that I call trading up. We trade those thoughts for something that's better.
Okay, so it's kind of like a training program. We're training ourselves to think differently then.
Exactly.
Okay.
You're 100% right.
Okay.
So the first part is that we're able to see our thoughts. The second part is all of us walk around with a load of, let's call it crap, garbage, heaviness.
Yeah.
Okay. For whatever reason, it's due to our experience, it's due to what we're thinking, it's due to, you know, things that have hurt us in the past and on and on, and we carry that load. And journaling allows us to put it down and to cleanse and to feel lighter. Right? So we're able to dump out all the stuff that's bothering us and put it down and put it aside.
Okay.
The third part about journaling
that's
really, really powerful is that it provides you with a blank canvas so that you can create exactly what you want in your life on paper. So you start to build a vision. So I ask a lot of clients when they first start coaching with me, I say, what is it that you really, really want? And so many of them say, I'm not that sure. And I don't know what I really want. And here's the thing, that if you don't know what you really, really want, it's going to be really, really hard to get.
Yeah. You know, that almost sounds like it's, you know, what we talk about for strategy driven for the individual. If an organization doesn't know what it wants and it hasn't defined what it wants, well, then it can't go after and get it. And it sounds like we're talking about that same concept for a person.
Right. It's like any business owner, big or small, they typically have, you call it a strategy, some people call it a business plan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? So the
business plan provides
the vision, provides the direction.
Okay. That's right. Exactly. Exactly. So now, something I was picking up in our conversation now on journaling, it sounds like it's really most effective if you have a coach.
I've been journaling ever since I was very young, so
okay.
I'm an avid journaler. And at this point, you know, I believe in coaching, absolutely, 100% believe in coaching, and it is helpful to start off with a coach, certainly, because a coach can help you learn to see what you're writing kind of underneath the layers.
Okay.
So it absolutely is helpful to have a coach, but not necessary. The idea is to start to express yourself, start to write it down, start to write what's going on, what you're feeling, just start writing it down.
Mm-hmm.
What's helpful is to have some guidance. So one of the things that we have for people who aren't so comfortable with the idea of coaching or who aren't prepared to you know, make that investment or need, you know, a little warm-up is we have something called FOM 52, which is Frame of Mind 52. And that is 52 weeks of online journaling where they are given their weekly assignments with an audio piece to go with it.
Okay.
And so they're given that guidance about what to write about.
Okay.
And they go week to week to week. And it's in a setting, it's in an online journaling platform where people can write in their journal but also interact with other journalers. And if they wish to make their journal public, they can. And if they don't feel comfortable with that, they can keep it private. So it's up to their, there's a lot of flexibility. But there's a whole lot of benefit in making it public so that you are actually reading each other's journals and supporting each other and commenting and giving each other feedback on what you see in each other's work. It's a phenomenal experience.
Okay. Yeah, it does sound like you have to be willing to open yourself up.
And you can open yourself up anonymously too, right? So nobody has to know your name or who you are. You're journaling.
Okay. Oh,
right?
Okay. Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I want to move along and, you know, well, of course, because of course we've talked before and I've been to your website. You talk about 7 strategies for stratospheric success. Can you talk about what those are?
Absolutely. So, you know, let's actually number them. So the first thing that people who live stratospheric lives have is heightened awareness. When I talk about heightened awareness, it's that they have a greater awareness of 2 things. Number 1 is what they feel, and number 2 is what they think.
Okay.
So they keep a pulse on the way they feel. And they understand that the way they feel is a function of the way they think. So when they're not feeling good, right? For whatever reason, they're feeling down, depressed, hurt, angry, mad, sad. They understand that it's a function of their thinking. And so they go back and they start to say, okay, what am I thinking and how do I change it? So they have a heightened awareness of what's going on for them. So their feelings are a barometer of their thoughts.
Okay.
It's not that they're watching their thoughts 24 hours a day, because you have 60 million thoughts every day. It's hard to keep track.
Sure.
Right?
Sure, yeah.
But when they feel something strong, they understand that that's an indicator, and they're tuned into that indicator, and they pay attention when things aren't quite right for them based on the way they feel. So they have, number one is heightened awareness.
Heightened awareness.
Number two is, and I mentioned it before, they do something called trading up. So when they notice that they don't feel quite right and things are off for them, and they understand that it's a function of the way they think, what they do is they trade up. So they trade in their thoughts for something slightly better. I don't know, there was this guy, his name is, I forget his name, but he started off with one red paperclip. Have you heard of this story?
No, I haven't. I haven't.
Okay, so he owned one large paperclip. It was a red paperclip, and what he wanted was a house. And he took the paperclip, and he traded it in for something slightly better. And after that, he traded that for something slightly better until he did end up with a house. Well, this is very similar in concept, is what we want you to do is trade in and trade up your thoughts for something slightly better.
Okay.
Okay, so that's number two, is you trade up.
You're trading up to better thoughts. Okay.
Okay, number three is people who live stratospheric lives engage in a form of writing, one form or another. So some people journal. For example, Oprah, she's a big journaler. Another one would be Da Vinci. He used to be a journaler. Someone like Bill Gates at some point drew out or mapped out his business plan. So writing, engaging in putting down your thoughts is huge where it comes to stratospheric livers.
Okay. Kim, does that have to be limited to writing, or could it be other forms of expression like painting and art? Or,
you know what? Painting is a form of expression, but it doesn't provide direction.
Oh, okay. All right.
So that's where the writing comes in. That's where the journaling comes in. So 100% painting is an incredible expression, and for some people, you know, it's a release of emotion and all of that kind of stuff, but it doesn't, and so, you know what, it's actually, I'm not being quite accurate, because some people create vision boards, right? They create a vision of what they want, and perhaps that can be done in a painting format, too. Why not?
Okay,
so the idea is, you know, this whole business of journaling or writing is about releasing what's there, choosing differently, and then creating the vision, the picture, the image, the dream of what you want in writing, or in painting if you want.
Okay.
Does that work?
Sure. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, that was a good question. Number four is that people who live stratospheric lives grow their relationships. I use the term grow on purpose because I'm really referring to something like a garden where you weed the, you know, you get rid of the weeds.
Yeah.
And you nurture the good stuff.
Okay.
You nurture the flowers. And that's very similar in a relationship or in a series of relationships. You want to get rid of or eliminate or minimize those relationships that are draining. And you want to fuel the relationships that are healthy.
Okay.
And surround yourself with people who build you up rather than knock you down.
Okay.
And so people who live stratospheric lives make an active practice of choosing carefully the people that they surround themselves with.
Okay. Yeah, and I was going to say, this is one, and maybe it's just me, but my impression of our business world where we tend to live for work is that this is probably one of the tougher ones to do, because we tend to shed away our relationships and put things on the back burner, and we focus on work and work and more work. And then when we come home, we do more work.
Right.
Yeah. So I guess I can personally relate to the difficulty of that one.
Well, and it's interesting. There's a whole bunch of things attached to that, right? So it's not only, you know, that we have become a work-based society, which is really what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's that when we do that, we don't take full responsibility for our complete happiness. So for some people, like for me, I love my work. I absolutely love my work. It's my, you know, one of my greatest passions, but there are other things I love too and that I want to have in my life, like my children, my family, my friends, extracurricular activities. I do a lot of writing on the side. You know, those are things that I want in my life. So if I shut those out, then for me, I'm not taking care of myself.
Okay.
So,
sure.
So, you know what? Let's jump ahead. I'm going to give you number five.
Okay.
Is people who live stratospheric lives take full responsibility for themselves. Full responsibility for their lives. So they never, ever abdicate that responsibility. They never self-sacrifice. They never put their needs second. And when I don't mean, you know, if you have a child who's sick, you don't take care of them. That's not what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean is they don't make a practice of putting themselves at risk, you could say, or in a position of unimportance.
Oh, okay. Is this somewhat akin to, I hear, and it would be cliche, but achieving like a work-life balance kind of a thing?
You know what? It's a funny thing. People often ask me, you know, do you believe in balance? And I don't. I kind of believe in counterbalance, you could say. Because there are times in your life when your greatest passion or your greatest joy might be a week solid of work where you can't even poke your head out, right? And then and the next week might be you're sleeping in every day and so that's not quite a daily balance.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is to live your passion.
Okay.
And so some days might be sweating, really you're sweating on the job, and the next day might be lax. And so, the idea is to make sure that your life is filled with things you really, really love and really enjoy and are passionate about.
Okay.
And some of those are work-related, and some of them aren't, and it's not always in balance, and that's okay.
Okay. All righty.
Okay. So that was number five. Number six is that people who live stratospheric lives move with speed. It's not that they make decisions quickly, but because they are clear about their vision, right,
mm-hmm.
because they've used their journal to create it, because
right.
they're clear about what they really, really want, when it comes to making decisions, it becomes easy for them. And here's why. It either fits with the vision or it doesn't.
Okay. That's right.
And so... Mm-hmm. They don't deliberate. They don't take a whole lot of time. When something feels right, so they use a lot of their instinct, and when something is aligned with what they really, really want,
mm-hmm.
regardless of the how-tos, they just go for it. So they, if one of the things that they really, really want is, for example, to travel somewhere, and a travel opportunity pops up, they don't so much worry about how am I going to pay for this? They go for it because it's aligned with what they really want.
Okay,
the how-tos become less important.
Okay, so it sounds like not only is it the clarity of the vision, but these are also people of action.
They take action and they move with speed, so fast.
Okay.
They move with instinct. So I don't know if you've ever heard of this gentleman named Richard Paul Evans. He wrote a book called The Christmas Box, and he self-published and. He was peddling the book. He was traveling across North America in his station wagon and going from bookstore to bookstore to bookstore to sell it. And, he's having a hard time gaining traction. Well, one day he discovered that there was a trade show with the American Booksellers Association. He decided to buy a booth, and they promised him thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And he went to this trade show and sat in the booth, and there was nobody there. And he got very frustrated, and he said, they promised me thousands of people. Where are these people? And he went to look around, and he discovered this big, 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 massive hall. And he walked in the hall, and he saw like lineups and lineups of people. And as he got closer, he saw a head table. And he saw that at the head table were all the famous authors, and there were lineups of people who were getting their books signed. And he just got aggravated. And as he approached and got a better look, he noticed that there was an empty seat at the table.
Oh.
And without a second thought, he went back to his booth, picked up his books, came back to this big, massive hall, walked right up to that seat, and sat down.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, that's
minutes
a great
later,
example. Sure.
Minutes later, a security guard approached him and he looked up at her and he said, "I'm sorry, I'm late."
Oh,
and
that's
she
good.
looked at him, knowing full well that he shouldn't be there, and she said to him, "Would you like some water?"
Oh, wow.
So his vision of being a famous author was very, very clear. And when the opportunity popped up, regardless of, you know, the how-tos and the risks, and he just went for it. He was clear.
Yeah, he was right? prepared to take advantage of that opportunity when it came up because he had a clear vision.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So the business of moving with speed becomes easy to do because when you're clear about what your vision is, there's no deliberation. It fits or it doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, right? Excellent. Mm-hmm.
And then the last one, which is very interesting to me, is that people who live stratospheric lives have unwavering trust. What I mean by that is that no matter what happens, they know it's the right thing. And they know it's something that they have called upon forward for themselves. So, for example, I'll take something simple, right? You're driving along the highway, and all of a sudden, the car in front of you kind of slows down. And very often, our response is, you know, what are you doing? We've got to go somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, crazy driver, you know, how long have you been driving? And we get aggravated. But people who live stratospheric lives take a different approach. They go, that was interesting. I wonder what that was about. And inevitably, they learn that a little bit further up down the road, there was a police car waiting for speeders.
Yeah.
And this car who slowed him down did him a favor.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when things turn bad, and this, you know, coming full circle back to the beginning of our conversation about emotional resilience and handling negative events, people who live stratospheric lives know that whatever event is before them is absolutely in their best interest. And in actuality, the universe conspires to serve, even though it may not appear that way at face value.
Okay. And because I was going to say, it sounds even to me that the universe is there to serve, and they're taking the opportunity to learn from everything that's happening to them. So even if if it's something bad, they're learning from that, and they're going to grow, and then it's not going to have happen to them again.
Well, it's interesting, okay? So it's not only that they have that they take advantage of the opportunity to learn. You're right about that. But it's more than that.
Okay.
They understand that that thing that happened that seemed or looked bad, within that thing was a gift.
Okay.
And so they start to look for the gift.
Okay,
so it's more than just learning, because very often when we think of, well, I learned from that, I'm never going to let it happen again, there's a negativity attached to it. So let me give you an example, right? Because you asked me at the very beginning, what are some of the thoughts that people have that slow them down? Here's one of them. Nathan, would you say that you grew up with the idea that experience is one of the best teachers?
Oh, yes. Yep, I grew up with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Most of us did. But here's what happened. What happens is that when you have a bad experience and it hurts and it stings, we often walk forward thinking, saying, believing, acting in ways that will never let that thing happen again. So I got burned. I'm not getting burnt again. And you keep looking over your shoulder to make sure you never get hurt again. And what happens? Whatever you focus on grows. So when you watch for not getting hurt, inevitably you get hurt again. And so sometimes experience isn't the best teacher because it teaches us to be careful of what we're afraid of. And when we keep watching for what we're afraid of, we're not paying attention to what we really, really want. And again, what we focus on grows.
Yeah.
Right? So wherever our attention is what manifests, what gets bigger for us.
Okay. You know, so much of this too, it feels like, yeah, I'm imagining, you know, as a child, and we're talking about experience and learning things growing up, and we tell our children they can do anything. And then as we get older, we say, well, I wanted to be an astronaut, but no, that's not in the cards for me. That's not doable.
Sure. Yeah. We lose our belief in the fact that we can do anything.
Yeah. Kim, I wanted to ask you one more thing. And that was, I was hoping you could tell us what frame of mind coaching is and how it works.
Okay, well, Frame of Mind Coaching is a 10-week coaching program that focuses exclusively on the way people think.
Okay.
So how it works is that there's a call every week. So we do group coaching, we do one-on-one coaching, we do both.
Oh, okay.
But there's a call once a week and with a coach. And, you know, the call is, you know, just like a regular coaching call. We discuss things that are happening for you.
Mm-hmm.
But the focus is on your thinking. So every single day for those 10 weeks, you are writing in an online journal. And in between those weeks, the coach is reading your journal and providing feedback. So that element creates dramatic transformation for people. And the results we're seeing with our clients are absolutely mind-blowing, even by my own standards.
Okay.
Absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah. Do you have an example you could share with us of one of
those?
Sure,
I have one just this week. I have this
okay.
one client. She was a real estate agent in California,
mm-hmm.
and she was quite successful in California. And she went to she moved to Hawaii and continued her career in real estate, but for 2 years sold nothing. She was
wow.
in a huge funk. She felt like she didn't know very many people. It was a new market, a new inventory. She didn't know that many people, and she just couldn't get it together. She
mm-hmm.
started working with me, and by week 6, she got a listing. By week 7, she made a sale. And just this week, she called me to tell me that she made a $13 million sale. So these kinds
wow.
of results are not abnormal. They're not a surprise
okay.
for the people who coach with us.
Wow, that is phenomenal.
So that's one example. We have lots of those, lots
sure.
and lots of those. People win awards. People get out of debt and start earning a lot of money in a very short period of time. Their blood pressure goes down. They lose weight. All kinds of really, really wild things happen.
Wow. Wow, that is great. That is great. And, you know, there's a few things I wanted to mention that we're here at the end. I think our listeners will be interested in. You know, we've, I think, just kind of barely scratched the surface. And we're fortunate because you've offered to come back for a series of podcasts and talk to us in more detail about the things we talked about this evening.
I would love to come back. This is
yeah.
my favorite topic.
And we would love to have you, and we'll look forward to having you back on just a lot of future podcasts, and we'll kind of put these together as a series.
No problem. We
and
can talk about relationships. We can talk about money. We can talk about leadership in organizations. We can talk about all kinds of things.
Excellent. Excellent. And for our listeners that don't want to wait that long, I did want to point them to your website. And that is www.frameofmindcoaching.com. And that's all together.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Excellent. Kim, I want to personally thank you for joining us in the podcast tonight, and especially for offering to do a future series so we can give all the strategy-driven listeners an opportunity to hear your thoughts on improving their personal performance on a one or more ongoing basis, but also in a broader number of areas. So I really appreciate your joining us.
Oh, it would be my pleasure. Thank you so much, Nathan.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed this edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast. As always, we would appreciate receiving your feedback by email at podcast@strategydriven.com. If you enjoyed the show, please consider voting for us on Podcast Alley and visiting our website at www.strategydriven.com. I would like to personally thank Kim Addis for being with us today and sharing her insights on improving personal performance through Frame of Mind Coaching. We'll look forward to learning more from Kim in upcoming episodes of the Strategy Driven Podcast. Additionally, you can find out more information about Kim and Frame of Mind Coaching on her website at www.frameofmindcoaching.com. So until next time, so long.